Welcome, friends, again to this program of Bible study. My name is Garland Robinson. In Isaiah chapter 59, we read in verse 1 and 2, "The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." The Bible tells us in this respect that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. "There is none righteous, no, not one." Romans 3:10. We learn that the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. So what's the Lord telling us? Everyone sins. There's no one that is exempt. And when they sin, they separate themselves from God. And when we separate ourselves from God and we die in that position, then we're going to be lost forever. We must be with God, be joined with the Lord, walking faithfully in His way, if we expect one day to hear Him say, "Well done." Ephesians 2:12 says that regarding that time before one becomes a Christian, he says, "You're without Christ, alien from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." What a sad condition that is when people are outside the gospel of Christ, outside faithfulness of living the Christian life. On the other hand, there's forgiveness to be found in Christ Jesus. And those who find it, those who obey the gospel by learning the truth, the Word of God, and then humbly submitting to it, they can have forgiveness of their sins. And it's only in Christ where there is hope. In Ephesians 2:13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." In Christ, the Bible says, we're a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new." In 1 Corinthians 12:27, we read, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Well, what's he telling us? Before you become a Christian, you sin, you violate the will of God, you transgress God's commandments, you're lost and undone in trespasses and sins. But when you obey the gospel, you're a new creature. You are born again. There's something new about you. You no longer live the old way. You are now a saint. In Romans 1:7, we read when Paul was writing this letter to the church at Rome, he says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints." We're not only saints, but we're heirs. In Romans 8:17, "If children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." So when one obeys the gospel, they're cleansed from their old way of life, their old sins, by the precious blood of Jesus, that which He shed on the old rugged cross. And the point is, we walk a new life. We live something different, something new. But that's only possible when you obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But when your sins are forgiven, when you've cleaned up your life, when you've turned from the old and turned toward the new, then the point is, the work is not over. The job is not finished. It's by no means the end of obedience. It's only the beginning. We've been raised, the Bible says, from that watery grave of baptism. We've been raised to walk a newness of life. Romans 6:4. That's a walk that will last the rest of your life upon this earth. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, we read, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So when you become a Christian, it's not time to sit down. It's not time to falter, not time to stop or time to rest, but it's time to go on unto perfection, being steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Revelation 2:10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life." Being faithful unto death simply means faithful even in the face of death. Even if the fact becomes necessary that we must die in order to be faithful and not abandon the Lord, not forsake His word or His principles, He said then, be faithful. And if it cost us our life, be faithful. Friend, are you faithful today? Are you living the Christian life or just pretending to? Are you a hypocrite? Have you never obeyed the gospel? Then, if you've never obeyed, you must obey today. If you truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that He is the Savior of the world, the Messiah spoken of throughout the Bible, then won't that move you to repent of your sins? Turn from them by changing your thoughts and attitude in respect to it and begin a new life? By confessing faith in Christ, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then being immersed into water for the forgiveness of sins. There's where you contact the death of Christ, wherein was shed His blood that forgives of our sins. If you can do that, then you can be a Christian, and you can continue to walk. You can continue to grow in the Lord. We read in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." We're not to do bad works or not to do no works, but to do good works. And that comes after obedience to the gospel. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, when Paul writing to the church at Philippi, he said, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What he's saying is, you know, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to leave this world, ready to depart from it, ready to go on and meet my Maker and have the joys of that eternal bliss of comfort in heaven. But he said, yet there's work I can do. And as long as I'm alive, as long as I'm drawing bread, I can preach the gospel, I can teach, I can help others to learn the truth so that they might be able to receive the forgiveness of sins also in Christ Jesus. In John chapter 14, verse 23, the Lord said, "If you love me, He will keep my word." Is that you? Could that describe you? Are you loving the Lord? Are you keeping His word? If you are, then you will be faithful in the Lord. Before your conversion, an individual only sought to satisfy themselves. Do what they wanted to do. Do what they felt they would like to do. But the Lord said in Matthew 16:24, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Here the Lord tells us that eternity is looming toward each and every one of us. And it's our task as individuals to turn from our old way of life and turn toward Him. Because when the time is over, when all the chances have been extended and there are no more, then the Lord said, "What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Well, the point is we need to be living a faithful Christian life every day we live. The unconverted who call themselves Christians view Christian living as a cold, intellectual concept. They look at it as a set of rules and regulations and stipulations to be obeyed. People that don't love the Lord and seek to do His will try to make it rigid and hard and, oh, it's so terrible to live the Christian life. Well, a person like that is not concerned with loving devotion to God, are they? It's not the task, it's not the thought that we have, well, what do I have to do to get by? Exactly how much do I have to study? Do I have to pray? Do I have to worship God in order to go to heaven? Their whole heart is not right. Their tenor of life is not right because they're looking at the Christian life as a life of drudgery. They're only concerned with how much I have to do to get by. We read in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 5 something that would apply to people like that. Paul said they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They appear on the outside to be righteous, but they're not right. They are doomed to failure because their heart's not in it. It's not from the heart. Christ, the Bible says, is our perfect example. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, that He so lived to show us the kind of life that we should live also. And we must strive to emulate His life. We need to imitate His thoughts. We need to be mindful of His attitudes, of His words, of His deeds. In Acts chapter 1, we read where Luke, the author of that, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing to Theophilus, made mention to him that he was writing of all the things that Jesus both said and did. The work of the Lord is a working religion. It is a doing religion. It's not just in the heart. It emanates from there, but then it displays itself in deeds that God would have us to do. In Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 to 8, we read of an attitude of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that he would humble himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He wanted to be faithful and right, and he was. And he teaches us likewise to do the same. We are concerned then of becoming Christ-like. We need to be concerned of living the Christian life every day that we live. Well, there's a number of things that's involved in living the Christian life. One, we need to study the Bible. Bible study is essential for daily Christian living. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obedience to the truth, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. What's our task? What's our job in this world? To obey the gospel, to live a faithful Christian life, be the shining example that we should be that light that's set on a hill, not hidden or covered up in any way, that we are the salt of the earth, that our job is to permeate society and influence it for righteousness and goodness sake. When we do that, we stand approved of God. In John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 17:17 says, God's word is truth. Friend, have you obeyed the truth? Are you faithful? Are you seeking to live daily for the Master? This has been Garland Robinson. Join us again.